With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
What's someone who should probably not be allowed out in civil society? My Tucker Carlson! Cody! Katie, guests of Behind the Bastards. We've not done a BTB on Tucker Carlson. Cody, you basically did. You had a massive Some More News episode on the guy.
It's a big one, yeah. Why is Tucker Carlson, I believe.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
We've done like a follow-up or two. But Yeah, he's a guy, man.
Yeah.
I would say all you need to really know about Tucker Carlson, aside from like the Swanson airship and all that kind of stuff, his son Buckley, I think. Anyway, it
doesn't matter. Oh my God. Really?
And, yeah, his letters to, yeah. Also,
I've never met a Buckley that we needed in the world.
And also, you know that he doesn't shorten it to Buck. It's Buckley.
No,
it's Buckley. All the time.
Wrote a letter to Hunter Biden thanking him for like helping his son get into his school.
Anyway, yeah. That's one of my favorite Tucker facts.
When Tucker was working in print journalism, he was getting he called it a takeout hot dog, is what he called it.
My God.
Yeah. You know, he's literally wearing the bow ties. He's writing this, I'm sure. So you got to take out, hot dog.
Yeah.
Went back to the office.
Man of the people.
Yeah. And somebody in the office was basically saying they need somebody to go on TV to talk about the OJ trial. They need an expert in the OJ trial to go and talk about it. And their OJ expert can't do it. Can you? And he was just like, yes. And in the book, he's like, I didn't know anything about the OJ trial, wasn't following it at all. I immediately said yes to get on TV, and then he did. And that's like the start of his career on television. And I think it's just so illustrative of like who he is.
Yeah.
And his entire career is just that moment of like, who's an OJ expert to go on TV? Oh, I am. I'll do it. After getting a takeout hot dog.
You know, I years ago for the nonfiction book I wrote, A Brief History of Ice, I talked to one of the two guys who coined the Dunning-Kruger effect. And I also talked to the author of a paper about, I think the title of the paper was The Evolution of Overconfidence. And it was kind of, it's part of this body of research that's trying to answer the question. And I think people are broadly familiar with the Dunning-Kruger effect, which is a fairly durable finding in neuroscience that people who are least competent in given tasks tend to overestimate their own competence the most. That's kind of the briefest way of describing it. And so there's this question that people, scientists in this field have, which is like, why? Right? Because it kind of seems, if you're just kind of assuming on its surface, that like it would be a bad trait evolutionarily to be overconfident, because then you'll get yourself in situations that you can't handle and you'll die horribly. Right.
Right. Right.
What,
but like, I guess it could be like psychologically protective,
you know? Yeah.
But like, I don't know if that's enough. Right.
There's the point that was made to me as I was trying to like understand why this still exists is that if you've got a resource that two different individuals are competing over, right? And they're more or less evenly matched, or at least they can't know whether or not. Because, right, if you're, like, standing next to a guy who wants to fight you who's roughly your size, you have no idea who's going to win or not, unless you're, like, you know, you don't, it's, you, they're a black box, right? You don't know, like, who is better at fighting or whatever. So if you... The individual that is more confident in their ability to take that resource, if they just go for it and grab it, one of two things will happen. Either the other individual will fight back, in which case they either win or lose the fight, or the other individual chooses not to fight and you get the resource. Mm-hmm. And statistically, that's a pretty good bet to make enough of the time that overconfidence is an extremely common trait, not just among human beings. And I think it's also interesting that, like, that is how fascism works, right? They just keep grabbing. Mm-hmm. And until you fight back, they're just going to keep taking more and more, which is why, you know, we could talk about certain shootings that have occurred recently in the city of Portland. But I think that, like, fundamentally, Tucker is a perfect embodiment of that fact, both in his career, where it's just like, well, yeah, if you just try to do shit that you're not competent to do and, you know, hope that you can bullshit your way through it, sometimes you will, and then you make tens of millions of dollars. And also, if you just keep pushing further and further as a fascist and trying to incite more violence against your enemies, and no one stops you, then you get everything you want, which in Tucker's...
It's literally, fuck around and find out.
Yeah.
Just like evil.
It is really evil. It's interesting because I wonder what he's saying in his texts, you know, in 2023. But in 2020, there's a degree of which you can see, like, fear in him of what he's doing, like, which makes sense.
Yeah, what he's helping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know if it's going to work out for him or not. But it does. There's a degree to which I find it, and maybe he's more confident now, I don't know. There's a degree to which I find a little bit of it comforting, because it's like, oh, he knows he could lose. Like, he doesn't actually know how this is going to work out. And he's second guessing himself and his colleagues. And maybe that means that there's hope. Maybe not, you know. It's 2023. It's a good idea to bet on hope.
He's in it, right? It doesn't matter how confident he is necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, yes. At any rate, we are back into the story of how Fox News handled the election lies.
Was it well?
About this document.
I remember it was well.
Well is a good way to describe it.
Okay, good.
So while Murdoch...
I'd expect nothing less. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No. While Murdoch apparently went to pretty great lengths to curry favor with the Trump campaign during the election, he does not seem to appear to have wanted to push the stolen election line after November 2nd. But within Fox News itself, Murdoch had a serious problem. He had hired a stable of hosts who were, let's say, either crazy assholes or evil enough that all they cared about was their bottom line, and they saw this as the best way to do it. There's also a degree of, like, fear of Trump that they all have. Mm-hmm. Internal discussion, and these people could not be entirely controlled, right? Rupert Murdoch has a lot of power. He does not have absolute control over Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson or Judge Jeanine or any of these other people, because they're all multi-million dollar businesses. They have a lot of leverage, you know? Mm-hmm.
Didn't Tucker Carlson at one point say on, like, some, like, radio show he was Rupert Murdoch's bitch?
Wait, did he?
Yeah.
I'm Googling it right
but
now.
That was more back in his shock days, though, wasn't it?
Right. Well, yeah. Right now he's, like, making it. I just, like, that popped into my head.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit. Now, I mean, because it definitely the depiction you get from these internal comms is not one in which he's fully Murdoch's bitch, although it's also one in which, I don't know. I was actually kind of surprised by how comparatively toothless it seems like Murdoch was, maybe just because of how much Fox is a talent-driven business. There's internal discussions that Dominion posts that are between Fox executives that are just like this parade of worries, particularly that Sean Hannity is not controllable.
Yeah.
They went so far, and they did take some actions to try and mitigate this. Judge Jeanine Pirro's November 7th show was canceled because, as Fox executive David Clark said, her guests are all going to say the election is being stolen, and if she pushes back at all, it will just be token. And then it's like token ... and then like two sentences are redacted, so I don't know what the fuck else they were saying about Judge Jeanine.
I wish I knew.
I know. There's some tantalizing redactions here. And then we get to this lovely bit. Quote, as Fox producer Justin Welles described, they took her off because she was being crazy. Optics are bad, but she is crazy. So he's like, the optics of us questioning the election lies conspiracy theory are bad, but also this pitch is nuts.
Oh my
this
God.
Is the situation you find when you hire people you know are inflammatory just to be inflammatory. It's Pandora's box. They've opened Pandora's box and
it's
they can't control
up.
Them.
No, they cannot. So these mild attempts at responsibility did not extend to letting the network call the election for Biden first. They waited until all of the other networks had finished. Viewers revolted. Rupert Murdoch complained to Suzanne Scott that the company was, quote, getting creamed by CNN. Guess our viewers don't want to watch it. Now, this is the point at which Tucker Carlson.
So,
yeah, I fucking
it's
love
so
that.
Funny. It's just like, yeah, they don't yeah. like. The results, they're gonna, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. It is remarkable. And at this point, Tucker Carlson, who'd kind of started out on, like, broadly speaking, team reason, like angry at the election conspiracies, takes a turn. Carlson texted his producer, do the executives understand how much credibility and trust we've lost with our audience? We're playing with fire, for real. An alternative like Newsmax could be devastating to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
they know exactly
yeah.
what's going on.
Yeah, they so know funny. Exactly, like, the shit that they're in.
Yeah, they're in a bad way. Bad situation, yo.
The freaks we
yo.
Spawned might overtake us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very, very funny. On November 8th, the day after the election was called, Maria Bartiromo had Sidney Powell on again to talk about Dominion software, which she alleged had an algorithm that had stolen the election from Trump. Bartiromo knew ahead of time that Powell was going to spread conspiracy theories about the company because Powell had sent her a document the day before titled Election Fraud Info. Now, this is the core of all of the information about the Dominion and Smartmatic or whatever. Like, this is the actual nut of data that Sidney Powell has that all of her claims are based on, right? So basically everything that Fox is going to magnify about the election conspiracy comes from this document that Powell has been sent from an anonymous source titled Election Fraud Info. Now, for one thing, Powell describes this anonymous source as pretty wackadoodle, right? Like, and what does that mean exactly? I bet you're wondering, what is from Sidney Powell? What does the sentence or the statement pretty wackadoodle mean? Here's how the motion describes the election fraud info document. In addition to promoting lies about Dominion, the sender claimed that Justice Scalia was purposefully killed at the annual Bohemian Grove camp during a week-long human hunting expedition, and that former Fox News CEO Roger Ailes, who died in 2017, and Rupert Murdoch secretly huddle most days to determine how best to portray Mr. Trump as badly as possible. The author continued, "Who am I, and how do I know all of this? I had the strangest dream since I was a little girl. I was internally oh my decapitated." God. Oh, Cody, you gotta hear this. I was internally decapitated, and yet I live. The wind tells me I'm a ghost, but I don't believe it.
What?
That's right. You
Wait,
don't believe
this,
it.
This is the source.
Yeah,
for
this
all
is it.
Of this.
Let's hear
this
them
is
out.
This is the source that $3 or $4 billion in lawsuits are based around. Now, at another point in this email, this anonymous source claims to be able to, quote, time travel in a semi-conscious state.
Sure, yeah.
Which is also, I think
As
that just means
do.
Dreaming. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is fucking incredible. Like, to know where it all comes to, it's not even Sydney making stuff up or just pretending to be a black box. She shares this email with Fox hosts, right? So that she can inform them what she's going to bring up. So they know that the source of a lot of these election claims is an internally decapitated woman who the wind tells is a ghost.
And can time travel in a semi-conscious state.
Yeah, in a semi-conscious state. Very impressive.
So,
yeah,
that's some very interesting info.
Yeah, I mean, Cody, I don't think any of your sources can time travel in a semi-conscious state, so...
Not recently.
I hope she includes all this in her resume
Future
and like
ones.
Cover letters when she's applying to jobs.
In her
what
CV.
About me?
I can travel in a semi-conscious state. Interestingly, our friend David Bell puts that on his resume as well.
Oh,
so
right. You know what? That's true. Yeah. He does.
That is true. He can.
I'm wondering when I did David Bell write this letter?
No, he was never internally decapitated.
That's right. Yeah. He would have shared that.
No, he sends me a CAT scan of his neck every single week. So I can confirm he has not been internally decapitated. So Bartiremo, Jesus, what a stupid last name, was aware of the email and stated in her deposition that she knew that it was nonsense. But at no point on air did she mention that this email was the source of Powell's claims about Dominion, which had aired on Fox to millions of viewers. As Tucker Carlson texted that night, "The software shit is absurd. Half our viewers have seen the Maria clip." And yeah.
Not wrong.
Yeah, it's the most interesting stuff in here to me is this behind the scenes glimpse at how Tucker communicates when he thinks he has a reasonable expectation of privacy, because he seems equally preoccupied with how dumb the conspiracy is as he is with lambasting his colleagues for not adequately furthering the conspiracy theory, right? Yeah. Like, he's pissed about both. He's angry that this conspiracy is taking off, and he's even angrier when his colleagues don't back it up on the air. What a weird position for a giant asshole to be in.
Yeah.
It is a bad, but it's, that a bad would it's a be sticky
his,
one.
That would be his position, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, of course, because there's personal responsibility. There's nothing like, be angry about everybody, the options, but
yeah, there are no
what
breaks.
Are the options
there are no
here?
Breaks on this ride he's on. It's just he wants the drivers to guide it a little better.
Yeah, it's
but
it's
not
good
stopping.
Stuff.
That's so interesting.
He's definitely not stopping. On November 9th, Carlson told Suzanne Scott, Fox's CEO, directly, "I've never seen a reaction like this to any media company. Kills me to watch it." Scott took that message down the line, attacking her colleagues for having the arrogance to call Arizona. She expressed that it was astonishing that a top executive had signed off on the Arizona call, given that every executive's first job was to, quote, protect the brand.
That's their first job.
It's sure shit not reporting the news, Katie.
No, it definitely isn't that.
I'm going to continue from the motion. And on that day one, as Scott termed it, Fox executives made an explicit decision to push narratives to entice their audience back. Scott and Lachlan Murdoch exchanged texts about the plan going forward. Scott, "Viewers going through the five stages of grief. It's a question of trust. The AZ call was damaging, but we will highlight our stars and plant flags, letting the viewers know we hear them and respect them." Murdoch, "Yes, but needs constant rebuilding without any missteps." Scott, "Yes, today is day one and it's a process."
So funny.
Oh,
pretending they respect their audience is very funny.
Yeah, and that respecting their audience means embracing the lie their audience
believes. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Easing them off the lie, maybe.
We've got to respect our audience.
That's so funny.
I think one of the things I find really compelling here is that, like, the most honest any of them seems is when they are distraught that the audience is losing trust in them. And so it's like, I think they do feel bad that they didn't embrace the audience's insane conspiracy enough, that, like, oh, we let them down.
Yeah,
they expected us to be as batshit as they are, and we really fell down on the job there.
Feeling upset that they can't, that they're in this situation and they can't.
That they failed their audience.
Yeah, we should have gone in harder at the outset.
It's so embarrassing to let you
struggling right now.
We should have been dumber and faster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do say that a lot myself. But you know who's as dumb and as fast as it's possible to be?
Sponsors.
Our sponsors. They are as fast.
It's the right amount.
I don't know how to finish that sentence. Anyway, here's our fucking ads. Robert Evans here, and as a kid, I loved playing Monopoly, but my favorite thing about it was robbing the bank, you know, working with my friends to pull over a con on somebody else, even heisting their money sometimes. And now Monopoly Go brings that fun to your phone. It's one of those games that can bring out the most devious version of ourselves. You can bankrupt your friends by pulling heists on their vaults and even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with your friends to unlock prizes or try to top the leaderboards. And whether you're working with somebody or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is a huge blast. Go download it now for free on the App Store or Google Play.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family,
cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, we are back. On November 9th, Neil Cavuto cut away from a White House press conference where Kayleigh McEnany made unsubstantiated claims about election fraud. Neil told viewers that he could not in good conscience air her claims unless she had evidence to back them up, which is honestly more of a principled stand than I think any of us ever expected from Neil Cavuto. Oh.
Absolutely surprising.
Yeah, shocking. The brand team at Fox panicked. Raj Shah, who headed the brand team, notified senior leadership that Cavuto represented a brand threat. Tied in with all this, and with Tucker's reaction, was an ever-present fear of Newsmax, which built over into the course of November. Fox execs and talent seemed to see Newsmax as a mortal threat to their continued profitability, which is funny, because didn't it just get dropped from, like, what is it?
Was it Newsmax or the One News?
DirecTV. DirecTV just dropped Newsmax because it didn't get enough people watching it.
Well,
it's interesting.
Very good, so.
Yeah. Maybe Fox was. I don't know. It may have just been that, like, in the moment, Newsmax was experiencing a surge, but it clearly didn't last. They're not doing well right now. Which is very funny also. Fuck all of those people. Quote, prior to November 8th, Fox executive David Clark testified that Newsmax was not a credible media outlet because, quote, their hosts were extremely one-sided, ignored the facts. They did not seem to care about telling the truth. They seemed to invest truly in conspiracy theories versus fact.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that'll do it.
Wow, imagine a news agency being like that, David. Fucked up, huh? Mm. On November 10th, Scott pointed out to senior Fox executives a note from analyst Kyle Goodwin on Newsmax's ride. Fox executive Porter Berry responded, just pulled up Newsmax's show and they're hitting Cavuto. They are just whacking us. Smart on their part. Lauren Peterson added, they definitely have a strategy across all shows to try and target and steal our viewers. And this is also really compelling to me just because, like, at number one, obviously, at no point is even ideology a primary concern. Like, the concern is the competition, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's pure business. And there's almost this, like, I can respect the degree to which they're good at fucking us over.
We would do that, too.
We would do that, too. And it's a shame to us that we weren't smart enough to do it faster, right?
Right.
Yeah. Fox executives talk about Newsmax the way the rest of us talk about Fox, which is one of the most entertaining things in the document. Fox president Jay Wallace describes Newsmax as truly an alternative universe that can't be ignored. He then adds in a message to Suzanne Scott that he is trying to get everyone to comprehend we are on war footing. And again, that's also from the point I'm making about, like, ideology doesn't seem to come into it with these people. They're not at war with the Biden White House or Democrats. They're at war with other right wing media that might steal their thunder.
Yeah. Who's out Fox Newsing them.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very
good,
interesting.
Cody. Yeah. Boxing.
I'm proud. I'm proud of you, Cody. You know what?
Yeah.
Let's get on a call with the T-shirt people real quick.
Yeah. Let's
go
get
ahead
them
and
on
print
the horn.
One of those. So
the t-shirt people.
The t-shirt people. Everything that Fox does next is influenced by this feeling of being at war with Newsmax. This is what causes Tucker to make common cause with Sean Hannity in order to push the false claim that Dominion was the core of some grand fraud. The express purpose of backing this conspiracy theory was to bring viewers back from Newsmax. Quote, Hannity told Carlson and Ingram on November 12th, in 1 week and one debate, they destroyed a brand that took 25 years to build, and the damage is incalculable. Tucker responded, it's vandalism. The hosts also discussed the possibility of competition to Fox emerging. Hannity told them, serious money with serious distribution could be a real problem. IMHO, they need to address, but what I don't know. Tucker, that could happen. So, yeah.
Feel it. Feel that fear. Folks.
Yeah, feel that fear. It is nice to know that he can be afraid. It's a little brain bug moment there. Mm-hmm. Putting your hand on the goop stick that Tucker Carlson uses to suck the brains out of your aunts and uncles. Yeah, it's afraid. It's afraid.
Normally I feel a little bit of empathy when an unlikable character, when you realize that, you know, they're afraid that, mm-hmm. you know, you humanize them. Nah, not this guy. Afraid.
I would not feel empathy if Tucker Carlson's asshole got sucked out of his backside by one of those sucker things in a swimming pool.
In a grain silo or something.
Yeah, or a grain silo, yeah. let's grain silo the fucker. Did you guys grow up with that at your
those
local
suckers.
Pool? That there was a kid got their guts sucked up.
And then a Palahniuk short story, right?
Was it a Palahniuk short story?
I think he ended up doing a short story about that urban legend, which
if anyone ever, I would definitely say, Cody, if there's a short story about getting your guts sucked out of your butt through a swimming pool, Chuck Palahniuk wrote it.
It would be Chuck Palahniuk.
I think it's literally called Guts, actually.
Beautiful.
I'm going to read it now. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But for the record, I would think it was funny if that happened to Tucker. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
That same day, Laura Ingraham's producer, Tommy Firth, texted a Fox executive responsible for overseeing her show. He complained, "This Dominion shit is going to give me a fucking aneurysm. As many times as I've told Laura it's BS, she sees shit posters and Trump tweeting about it." The next sentence or so is redacted, but the Fox executive responds, "This is the Bill Gates microchip angle to voter fraud." The next day, he messages Firth again asking, "How's it going with the kooks?" So they're both being like, oh yeah, Laura's, you know, she's watching these shit posters, she's tweeting about nonsense, but the executive's like, yeah, you know, this is something we can work with. It's this Bill Gates microchip angle, but applied to voter
fraud.
Yeah,
we can make it work.
Yeah. God. How's it going? Are the crazy people biting?
Feels, you're not done telling this story, but this all feels really damning.
It's damning and evil.
It feels evil. Like people should be locked up.
Like we have fun, we make our jokes, but like honestly, the real life repercussions of this shit.
Families destroyed. People kill themselves over this. There was just another suicide of an entire family over this shit. Like this has destroyed so many lives. Like I don't know. These people money is not enough. I don't see, on a moral level, I don't see any argument as to why a lot of this shouldn't be criminally liable. But none of it is, obviously, or ever will be, because it's fine to do this. It's not fine to, yell at the Atlanta police after they shoot a guy. Then you get charged with domestic terrorism. Yeah. But this is cool. So, also on November 12th, Lou Dobbs took to the airways with Rudy Giuliani as guest. After Giuliani repeated his litany of false allegations against Dominion, Dobbs said on air, "It's stunning. They have no ability to audit meaningfully the votes that are cast because the servers are somewhere else. This looks to me like it is the end game to a 4.5-year-long effort to overthrow the President of the United States." While Dobbs dug that hole deeper, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, and Tucker Carlson were in a group text thread together. And boy, that sounds like the worst group text thread I can imagine.
I want only that.
Yeah. You want that?
I want to see it all.
That. You want to see you
all
don't...
of it. Every breaking news story that happens, I want to see just everything.
I don't want to be on that thread in any way. But
oh, gosh,
I would love to read it for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to be on there, be like, hey guys, you know, it's Friday. I got some beers. The liver of a child that was drowned to death in amaretto. You guys want to come over, you know, have some brews, eat a little bit. I assume when Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, and Tucker Carlson hang out together, they eat like the human equivalent of an ortolan. That's the only thing that they don't even hide their shame from God, though. Tucker knows he's more powerful. So yeah, while Dobbs dug that hole deeper, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, and Tucker Carlson are in their group chat, and Carlson shares a tweet by Fox reporter Jackie Heinrich. And Jackie was one of the like three or four people at Fox who had a shred of integrity, and Trump tweeted about Dominion, like sharing the Sidney Powell conspiracy, and Jackie Heinrich fact-checked it. She noted, there is no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes. Carlson shares this and tells Hannity, please get her fired. Seriously, what the fuck? I'm actually shocked. It needs to stop immediately, like tonight. It's measurably hurting the company. The stock price is down. Not a joke. Tucker then adds, I just went crazy on Mead over it. Hannity responds that he had already sent to Suzanne with a really? He then added, I'm three strikes, wall is shit debate, election night a disaster. Now this BS? Nope, not gonna fly. Did I mention Cavuto? They're so pissed. They're so pissed.
So satisfying.
Yeah, it does feel good a little bit.
I can just see him.
Yeah. Now, Hannity next texts Suzanne Scott, who reached out to Fox's SVP of Corporate Communications, Irina Briganti. Quote, Sean texted me. He's standing down on responding, but not happy about this, and doesn't understand how this is allowed to happen from anyone in news. She, Heinrich, has serious nerve doing this, and if it gets picked up, viewers are going to be further disgusted. By the next morning, Heinrich had deleted her fact-checking tweet. So I guess, look, again, you know, Heinrich had a little bit of courage or whatever. Yeah,
chutzpah.
But not so much that when her bosses yell at her, she doesn't delete the tweet.
Oh, yeah, as soon as Tucky shows up.
Yeah,
whining little texts.
I don't know. Maybe one thing you could take from that is that, like, if you get caught telling the truth in right-wing media, there's not, like, a job open for you in normal media, whereas if you get caught lying in mainstream media, there's a job for you on. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was trying to put myself in that position, and it's like, yeah, I could see how you get intimidated. I would like to think I wouldn't, because I would make those series of choices where I was working at this place. Mm. But you know,
yeah, you know, there's this term you hear because of Hannah Arendt, The Banality of Evil, and she was talking about, like, Holocaust perpetrators, but it gets used a lot. I think I prefer to think of things a little differently, which is that, like, it's not that evil is banal, it's that the vast majority of evil is perpetuated so that people can pay their mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, and that's what's going on here. And that's even what's going on with, like, Tucker doesn't have a mortgage or whatever, but it's very much just about the bottom line, right? Like, if the money for Tucker had been in being a liberal or left-wing media personality, he would have been just as fine doing that. He doesn't care. Like,
he doesn't care.
Yeah. While this is going on, Dominion representatives are frantically contacting Fox News to try and correct these false allegations. In the first, like, 2 months that followed the election, they sent 3,600 messages to Fox representatives. Fox executive David Clark tells a colleague on November 14th, I have it tattooed on my body at this point. LOL, super aware that we're lying criminally about a corporation. LMAO. Yeah.
ROFL.
Hope they don't sue us for $1.6 billion.
Teehee, teehee.
Kissy face. Yes. Yeah. One fun thing I learned reading this is that Fox does, in fact, have its own fact-checking department. Now, that's an astonishing thing to hear if you have watched a lot of Fox News. You want to know what they call themselves?
Fucking losers.
No.
No, I don't know. What did they call themselves?
The Brain Room.
Oh, shut my gosh.
Up. I mean, don't shut up. But, oh, no.
Goodness, the Brain gracious. Room. That is.
Yeah. Incredible. Love it.
What facts are they checking? They just don't care. They'll check the facts so that they know.
Katie.
Report the opposite?
I would love to answer that question for you, but as soon as the motion notes that Fox's fact-checking department is called the Brain Room, the next two full paragraphs are redacted.
Oh, what? Come on. You're killing me, redactions.
Again, there's some juicy shit that's black-barred in this.
It's the funniest place to put redaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's really, there is a degree of comedic timing from some of these Dominion lawyers.
Yeah, some of it's like intriguing. Some of like, mm-hmm. Wow, I wonder what she was saying there. It's like, no. The Brain Room is soft.
The Brain Room? Yeah, we can't talk about what happens in the Brain Room. So
what
immediately after,
stays in the brain room.
So immediately after those two full paragraphs of redaction comes this paragraph. Fox continued to broadcast its lies about Dominion as it nervously eyed Newsmax. In a November 16th email, Rupert Murdoch told Scott to read a Wall Street Journal piece about Newsmax, telling her, "These people should be watched, if skeptically. Trump will concede eventually, and we should concentrate on Georgia, helping any way we can. We don't want to antagonize Trump further, but Giuliani taken with a large grain of salt. Everything at stake here." It's so funny. The paragraph,
what a tough time for them.
What a hard time. So the paragraph that follows this is also redacted, and immediately after all that redaction comes this line. Carlson told his producer, Alex Pfeiffer, that night, "Sidney Powell is lying. Fucking bitch."
Oh.
God.
It's so
fucking
good.
Struggling.
Having a rough one, huh, buddy?
Yeah, letting it out.
He continues to complain about this regularly up to November 18th, when he tells Laura Ingraham that Powell is crazy, and Ingraham responds, "Sydney is a complete nut. No one will work with her. Ditto Rudy." Carlson responds, holy shit, check this out. Carlson responds, "It's unbelievably offensive to me. Our viewers are good people and they believe it."
Why do they believe it, Tucker?
Why do they believe it, Tucker Carlson?
Why do these
Carlson?
Good people believe it?
Mm-hmm. Let's take it a step further, man.
Yeah. It's so weird. There's almost like a schizophrenic quality to reading through this, because there's this mix of like Carlson responding the way a regular person should. This is unbelievably offensive.
Right.
It's fucked up. They're mm-hmm. But also like, you're doing it, Tucker. Like,
yeah, it's like, look what they're making me do kind of stuff. Like, look at the situation I'm in and what I have to do.
Because again, obviously...
But I respect the audience so much. They're such good people, but I have to.
No, they respect what the audience means for his bottom line. But again, it's just not surprising in any way, but you know, an inability, psychologically incapable of seeing any accountability.
No. Ugh. No, absolutely not.
Nightmare to be married to.
Tucker, you're doing it. You're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tucker, the lies have come from inside the you.
It's coming from inside you.
This is entirely your fault, Tucker Carlson. But you know what's not, what isn't Tucker Carlson's fault?
The joys of cooking.
That's right.
Prepped meals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That here got delivered straight to your
Hello Fresh.
I bet I can make it. We could find a case for how that's his fault. But
no, you know, actually,
get
this
your
is very
takeout
exciting.
Hot dogs delivered straight to your door.
Very exciting.
Yum, yum, yummy.
We've got a couple of sponsors. We've got a food box company and a mattress company sponsoring us. And as a result, we're now offering our listeners for a limited time a mattress completely stuffed with tacos. A taco Whoa! Mattress. Mm-hmm. Unrefrigerated, no preservatives. It'll just a larger quantity of food than you can eat stuffed in a mattress that you have to cut open to get the food out. Does this benefit you in any way? Does it do nothing but cause problems for you? Yes, of course. Just like Fox News. So use promo code.
Promo code. Yeah.
I would like a pile of rancid tacos stuck inside my mattress. We'll be back in a minute. Robert Evans here, and as a kid, I loved playing Monopoly, but my favorite thing about it was robbing the bank, you know, working with my friends to pull over a con on somebody else, even heisting their money sometimes. And now Monopoly Go brings that fun to your phone. It's one of those games that can bring out the most devious version of ourselves. You can bankrupt your friends by pulling heists on their vaults and even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with your friends to unlock prizes or try to top the leaderboards.
And whether you're working with somebody or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is a huge blast. Go download it now for free on the App Store or Google Play.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On November 18th, SVP of Primetime Programming and Analytics Ron Mitchell sends a message to underlings, RE Newsmax. The lack of any meaningful editorial guidance may be a positive for them, at least in the short term. For example, last night on Stitchfield at 8 p.m., the show sourced websites like Gateway Pundit while talking about voter fraud. This type of conspiratorial reporting might be exactly what the disgruntled FNC, Fox News Corporation, viewer is looking for. Mitchell concluded that viewers are watching less Fox News and suggested fixes. Do not ever give viewers a reason to turn us off. Every topic and guest must perform. No unforced errors in content. Example, abruptly turning away from a Trump campaign press conference.
Yeah. Give them
what
they want.
That's how you run a news
Give
network.
Give them the slop that they want.
Yeah. Feed the piggies.
Oh, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. Keep fucking people's relatives up.
This
so,
isn't how yeah. you ruin... Bring down a society to its knees.
It sure is. It sure is. So, following this guidance, on November 19th, Fox broadcast the entirety of a press conference with Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell. Now, you guys probably all remember this as the press conference where Rudy's hair melted off of his face.
I do. Right. I remember that. Beautiful.
What an incredible moment for this country.
Made up. It's AI art. It was a lie. It didn't happen.
I want to be like frozen so that 1,000 years from now I can help journalists make a documentary about America. And I want to cut straight from like the battlefield at Gettysburg, thousands of corpses, a nation fighting with its past in order to like finally write like the evil at the center of its existence, and cut immediately from that to like Rudy Giuliani with his hair melting off.
Just leaking from his skull.
Nothing else is important. We can cut the rest of American history between those moments. From Gettysburg to Sidney Powell and Giuliani.
The two most pivotal points in American history. Absolutely no question.
Yeah. I have
detour at Four Seasons. Total landscaping.
Sure, we can throw that in there too.
Yeah. I think we might even be like morally obligated to have a little detour into Four Seasons Total Landscaping. Okay, I'm going to play a little segment from that clip, because I know a lot of people enjoyed Rudy's head melting, but I think fewer people actually listen to some of the claims being made. This is a particularly powerful moment from that press conference. And I'm going to play it in just a second.
Outrageous situation. I don't think most Americans know that our ballots get calculated, many of them outside the United States, and are completely open to hacking, completely open to change. And it's being done by a company that specializes in voter fraud. I'll let you describe that to you.
Oh, he does not look well.
Oh, he doesn't
Also, Sydney Powell is very tall.
Yeah, yeah, she's tall.
And wearing a leopard print sweater.
Real school mom
interesting
vibe.
Choice.
Yeah. What we are really dealing with and uncovering more by the day, massive influence of communist money through Venezuela.
Oh, she did.
Interference with our elections here in the United States. The Dominion voting systems, Smartmatic technology software, and the software that goes in other computerized voting systems here as well, not just Dominion, were created in Venezuela at the direction of Hugo Chavez to make sure he never lost an election.
Okay, that's...
Oh my God, this is...
I do love the way she says Venezuela, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, his the crude oil leaking from his brain really distracted from the things that she said.
Yeah. Which it should not have, because it's...
Yeah, it really shouldn't have.
Yeah, because all anybody could talk about
maybe afterwards... Maybe it was a tactic. Maybe it was planned.
Yeah. Maybe. Rudy is much more cunning than we give him credit for. He is, you know, some species of lizards can shoot blood out of their eyes to, like, distract an attacker. Rudy is able to do that to the entire nation with his head oil.
Yeah, exactly. He's developed it over millions of years. Yeah. Subjected himself with a symbiote. It's like, yeah, do my little trick.
This is how Rudy's Giuliani have managed to survive at the fringes of the world for the last 65 million years since the death of the rest of their race. I consider Rudy to be the same species as the dinosaurs in the original Mario movie. Mm-hmm. You know, the one with Bob Hoskins.
My goodness.
You could just put Rudy in that movie and he would fit out immediately. The same way
he
dresses.
He wasn't in that movie?
Not entirely.
We just don't know.
So while this beautiful, beautiful scene was unfolding, Rupert Murdoch sent out an email with the subject "Watching Giuliani!" exclamation point. The text of that email: real, really crazy stuff and damaging. If only you had the power to stop this, Rupert Murdoch. It's like watching a train crash, and also you have the Superman-like ability to stop any object in motion with a moment's notice.
It's the trolley problem, but there's one track.
Yeah, it's the trolley problem, but you're God. Yeah. It's very funny. White House correspondent Kristen Fisher did at least fact check some of the claims made during this press conference. Her boss, Brian Boynton, called her and told her emphatically that he and his bosses were unhappy with her and that she, quote, needed to do a better job of, and this is a quote, respecting our audience. Fisher texted a colleague about being punished for doing my job shortly thereafter. Real lions eating faces party moment. Oh, no. Seriously.
I like that this is their phrase. That's the way they're respecting our audience. I know we've covered this, lied to our audience.
It's very fun. It's also like you get these people like Kristen Fisher who is like, well, it's good that you were doing your job as a journalist, but also like you did work at Fox. Like, you did choose to work there.
Yeah, this isn't the first thing.
Yeah.
Like, a first questionable move that they've made.
Yeah, you didn't have a long career there without any kind of moral qualms. Mm. This is just, like, happened to be the time that there were a bunch of depositions.
Maybe this is the only bad thing they've ever done.
Maybe this is the only bad thing they've ever done. That's possible, Cody.
We don't know. We just can't know.
So the fact that there was regular spirited resistance within Fox to the increasingly unhinged Dominion conspiracy is very compelling to me. At one point, Fox anchor Dana Perino comments that Dominion would probably be able to sue over the comments made in that press conference. This prompts CEO Suzanne Scott to send an email saying, "You can't give the crazies an inch right now. They are looking for and blowing up all appearances of disrespect to the audience." Scott separately noted, "The audience feels like we crapped on them and we have damaged their trust and belief in us. We can fix this, but we cannot smirk at our viewers any longer."
I'm not positive what is being argued for here.
She's saying, like, we can't give the crazies at Fox an inch right now. They're looking for any opportunity to, like, blow shit up. But also, the audience feels like we're shitting on them when we correct this stuff, and that's damaged their trust. So we have to. It's again, they're being pulled.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It's this impossible situation because you're evil.
Like,
it's impossible.
You're evil, but you don't want to be.
Your choices and the scenario that you've created that you know is bad, but you also need in order to continue.
Like, it's like the crew of the Hindenburg got themselves into an impossible situation when they exploded. We don't want to explode, and yet we love this explosive thing. What an impossible situation.
Respect the explosion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Respect hydrogen more.
We're not respecting the audience if we don't explode properly. The audience being hydrogen. So internally, Fox executives like Ron Mitchell laughed at the clowns, Rudy and Sidney, who had put us in a terrible place. He even asked a colleague jokingly if Sidney was going to mention the, quote, international crime conspiracy to steal the election featuring Soros, Maduro, Chavez, Antifa, Cuba, and China. It's noted in the conversation that, silly as these allegations are, they put Fox in an awkward place where we're going to need to thread the needle.
You're actually not in an awkward place. You don't have to be. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do this.
Yeah, nobody's making you do this.
You don't have to. It's okay. You can help. Yeah. You can make things better.
On November 20th, Dominion sends Fox's general counsel a cease and desist. Internally, executives fretted over how reckless it was to keep giving Powell air, but she continued to guest regularly on Fox primetime shows, including Dobbs and Hannity that same day. This continued into December. On December 2nd, Bill Salmon, Fox's DC editor, messaged a colleague. It's remarkable how weak ratings make good journalists do bad things. It's good stuff. Good stuff. I might I quibble with that. But by late November, even some of the bad journalists at Fox were expressing a fear of where the recklessness might lead. Suzanne Scott said, privately, I had a number of conversations with Sean where he wanted the president to accept the results. And Hannity had understood that Joe Biden legitimately won the election for some time. He admits this in his deposition, too. On November 19th, after the Giuliani-Powell press conference, Carlson very carefully tried to thread his own needle. On one hand, he said publicly on his show that what Powell was describing would amount to the single greatest crime in American history, but she never sent us any evidence, despite a lot of requests. On the other, however, he did not say that what he believed privately, that she was lying. Instead, he closed by saying, maybe Sidney Powell will come forward soon with details on exactly how this happened and precisely who did it. We are certainly hopeful that she will. And this is the most minimal pushback you could get on this. Still too much for Fox viewers. The motion, citing internal Fox communications, notes that there was a massive viewer backlash to Carlson on this, which caused him to mobilize with Raj Shah from the brand team. Shah messaged a number of executives, including Lackland Murdoch and Suzanne Scott, about this, but we don't know precisely what was said because the next full page or so is redacted.
Wow.
Again,
that's juicy.
Super curious as to what was said there. When the black bars end, we come to this. Shaw also texted with producer Alex Pfeiffer. On November 22nd, Shaw wrote, shit is so crazy right now. So many people openly denying the obvious that Powell is clearly full of it. Pfeiffer, she is a fucking nutcase. Now, November 22nd is the day that Trump finally disavows Powell, noting that she did not represent his campaign. This appears to have been on the behest of Tucker Carlson, who messaged Ingram that day that dealing with Powell totally wrecked, he spells it R-E-C-K-E-D, my weekend. Right. Then he says, this is Tucker. No. Wow, I had to try to make the White House disavow her, which they obviously should have done long before. Ingram responds, no serious lawyer could believe what they were saying. Carlson replies, but they said nothing in public. Pretty disgusting.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
Oh, it's disgusting that they didn't say it in public. Yeah. Oh,
it's also interesting because the White House does disavow Powell after this. Like Carlson, that's just kind of evidence of the amount of pull that he does have. January 6th came as a surprise to everyone involved at Fox, at least based on what the discovery documents suggest. It seems to have done something to set up a sense of stakes for guys like Carlson, but he was still too afraid of losing his audience to reverse course. Late on January 6th, Carlson texted with Pfeiffer that Trump is, quote, a demonic force, a destroyer, but he's not going to destroy us. On January 26th, Carlson invited his leading sponsor, Mike Lindell, on the show, where Lindell spouted these same conspiracies on air after previewing them for Carlson staff during a pre-interview. And again, this dichotomy between the almost panicked awareness of how much trouble they're getting into by defaming Dominion and like inciting an insurrection, it exists on every level of decision-making at Fox. And the last quote I'm going to read you from this motion is this.
On January 5th, Rupert Murdoch told Suzanne Scott, "It's been suggested our primetime three should independently or together say something like, 'The election is over and Joe Biden won,' and that such a statement would go a long way to stop the Trump myth that the election is stolen." Scott forwarded the email to Cooper, stating, "I told Rupert privately that they are all there. We need to be careful about how using the shows and pissing off the viewers, but they know how to navigate." They did not know how to navigate it, and in fact refused to. But it's interesting that they were aware, as it's, this suggests that Murdoch is aware, like, we do have some sort of duty to use our reach to try and quash this. Might be seen as like evidence of guilt.
I mean, they're not unaware.
Yeah.
It's interesting what lines they, I mean, but again, you're saying like they didn't do it, so.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't do it.
It's not, the line is like considering doing something about it, I guess.
Anyway, that's where we are, folks.
That was a real treat, Robert.
It was a treat, wasn't it? Wasn't
I'm
it, Katie?
I'm so honored you invited us.
I loved it. I felt good about it. Do you feel good?
I feel great about it.
That's good.
I mean,
that's
I don't feel great about it,
it's
but I
change a lot of people's minds.
Yeah. That's the thing, right? That's what pisses me off most about it is like, oh, here it is. Objective proof from the mouths of the people who run and are the main faces on Fox that they are liars and they are lying to their audience and they are like doing it out of a pure cowardly venal desire for money and fame and care nothing about the degree to which they mislead people, really. And it will never matter. Because facts, it's impossible to convince anyone with facts. You put this in front of person
then you
who
have,
watches
like, the the tiny little morsel, right? Of here's Tucker. Here he is saying that like he needs evidence for it, so he did push back. Like that's the game that they try to play and sometimes succeed at. There's enough like you can see people running cover for them already. Of like, well, no, he did. It's he said it without acknowledging anything else. It's very frustrating.
No, I mean, it's this thing where like, I don't know, I shouldn't say it doesn't matter at all, because we just had this very shocking like midterm upset where like maybe we're coming to like ahead of how much they can get away with. I guess we'll know after 2024.
Right.
But it does, I do know that like the people in my own life who have been listening to watching Fox religiously for years, this won't stop them. This will not have any impact. And like, and they're not dumb people, nor are they bad people. It just, they have gotten bored into their reality tunnel, and the like digging into this, acknowledging the degree to which they've just been manipulated for their viewership would be, I think, psychically painful. So why? Yeah. Why would you do it?
It's hard to accept. We see it all the time. The people that still are on the Q train, you know, like having a hard time accepting the facts. But also, I would imagine that there's a lot of people who straight up don't even know this story. like Fox News viewers that get this information, because it's not like this is going to be a breaking news segment on Fox News, you know.
Yeah.
Anywho,
I want to read more of their texts.
So do I.
Give me the redacted parts.
Yeah, I would like some of that too. There's a lot of very enticing pieces, but what's more enticing is y'all's pluggables.
Oh, that's very true.
Wow.
You start, Cody.
Check us out on YouTube.com/ the search bar and type in some more news for our video channel. We do videos and stuff. It's a podcast too, if you like podcasts.
Speaking of podcasts, we also have another podcast in that same podcast feed called Even More News. You go to that feed, you'll see both of them in there. One episode will be the audio of the YouTube show. Another one will be us chatting with each other and people about the news. Mm. Also, we have a Patreon.com/
some more news.
Wow. God, you guys really are a well-oiled gazelle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. We get that a lot.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We get the oil from Rudy's skull.
Uh-huh.
That's, you know, that's where we need to invade next is Rudy Giuliani's forehead. Send the 10th Mountain Division in there. Get it all. Get it all that fuel.
It really, really helps out right now. This has been fun, though.
Somebody needs to cut, like, I don't know, use an AI or something to, like, cut him into X-Files whenever there's one of the aliens that have, like, the black oil coming out of their faces.
Yeah, can someone please do that?
Yeah, yeah, somebody make Rudy into an alien super soldier on, like, season 6 of the X-Files.
I feel like someone will.
Yeah, yeah. I could
thank
always
you to that person.
Thank you in advance.
Yeah, finally we'll all get to live our dream of seeing Rudy star opposite David Duchovny. And that's a good note to end on.
Behind the Bastards is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.